saves. It's the whole body. I say that because you and I as Christians are to be giving our whole self to the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, He just doesn't want you to stick your left foot in, your right foot in, your left arm and all that. He wants all of you to jump in, to be part of the relationship that you are to build with Him. And you know yourself that as you do the hokey pokey, it's like a little exercise, isn't it? And when you finish, you're very tired. Well, the Lord tells us, if you're going to live for Him, let me tell you what, you can wear yourself out too. But the thing is, when you do, you have a better feeling about the exercise that you've done. You feel better about giving of the whole person to serve Him each and every day. Most people today do not come to church and worship service prepared for it. I want to say that because we don't. We come to church and we sit down, we listen, and we leave. The question I have is this. Do you ever think about why you're here? Sometimes I don't think we do. We are here to worship God in the spirit and truth of His Word. And that worship should come from within us, okay? We should remove everything else from us and put God first in this service today. We come to church to ask forgiveness of our sins, our shortcomings, the things that we should be doing that we're not doing, to God to strengthen us each and every day. To give us that strength, my friends, you have to do something. You have to seek God. You need to worship God, as the Bible says. Well, let me say it this way. How many of you ever get frustrated? Huh? How many of you ever really feel depressed in life? Really torn down? How many burdens come upon you and you say to yourself, what in the world am I going to do? How can I get through all of this? How about, if you think about it this way, preoccupation. Our mind is always drifting somewhere else. How many of y'all's mind drifts a lot? Huh? Mine does when I pray. You ever notice when you pray, your mind goes poof? You know? Everything else comes into your mind except for the right thing. And then you say, Lord, you know, to get the devil behind me and you get your life straight and you put it on the right road, you know. This is what we do today. I guarantee you, and I'll say this, and I want you to listen very carefully. When we come to church and we think about the sins that we have in our lives, we really don't want to bring it before the Lord, do we? Well, let me tell you something. God already knows. He wants to know if you know where you are and what you're doing. We would rather sit in church and write a double check to put in the offering plate than to come to God and confess our sins. Why? Because we think it's easier. My friend, it's hard at times to come before the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Because we don't want others to think, you know, that we are in a low state of life. Every one of us in this sanctuary does not always have a high in life. I want you to understand that. We'll have our ups, we'll have our downs. There'll be things that go well for you for one week, the next week you think you're in a pit somewhere and you got run over by a tractor trailer. You wonder what happened to it. Where is God at in this situation? My question is, where did you put God that week? Even through the hard times and difficult times of life, God is still there to be with you. He's still there to strengthen you each day. See, worship itself in church is what they call a total commitment in serving Jesus Christ and that person that He is. And your total life and your total being should be caught up in the Word of God, the Spirit of God, Jesus Christ, and the God that created you. And we're to give Him our best in all that we do. So this morning, I want to try to relate to you through these two verses who we really are today and what direction do you want to take in serving the Lord Jesus Christ through this brand new year that we've got. Because today is a new day, tomorrow is a new day, and each day is a new day in the Lord. But the question is, what are you going to do for Jesus this year? Let's stand together, please, in reverence to the reading of God's Word. Starting in chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I always like the first part of this. I beseech you, therefore, God, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies what? Living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not, what does he say here? Conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. You hear that word? Transformed, he said. By what? By the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God in your life. Now let me say this. I beseech you, I urge you, I charge you. He says all these things to us. Why? Because he says, listen. And this morning I want you to listen to what God says to you through His Word, and not what I've got to say, but what God has to say about us coming to Him and selling our whole self out to Him. Let's pray. Father, we are blessed beyond all measure in this church. You have come today to be with us. I know that. There are those in this church that need to make a change in their lives, and we know that. But you know it even better than I do. And I ask for anyone that's in the sound of this word this morning that needs a relationship with Jesus Christ, not just to have a head knowledge, but have a heart-changing experience. Today will be the day that they would come to know you in a personal way. Father, we live in a day and time where Christianity is being pushed back further and further. But we as Christians, as individuals, can stand above the world that's before us, the things that are happening, and put Christ in the center of it. And we know through your precious word that hearts will be touched, lives will be changed. But most of all, I want people to see Christ in us. Not just in the community, Lord, but everywhere we go, that people can say, those people are different, but they lived their life to the fullest potential that God has given them. Be with us this day. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated this morning. First of all, the first thing I want to talk about this morning is this. We offer ourselves to God because of His mercy. We offer ourselves to God because of His mercy. Have you ever thought about God's mercy in the Bible? You ever thought about His love in the Bible? He said, I beseech you therefore by the mercies of God. And when I looked at that, I think about how much God cares about us. We are to recognize what God has done for us and through us through His Son, Jesus Christ. That's the first thing. I'm glad that God has mercy on us today. I'm glad I don't live under the old laws of the Old Testament. I'm glad that I live under the new covenant of the New Testament. And that is having Christ in my life. His shed blood has cleansed me and made me who I am. I want to say something this morning, and I want you to listen. Three words. We are sinners. Now I'll give it to you in four words. We are all sinners. And every day, my friends, there's something in our life, I'll guarantee you, that will make you say something, that will make you do something, make you act in a certain way that you never thought maybe was there. Because we as individuals are in a fleshly body. We should be controlled by the Lord Jesus Christ as a born-again believer. But sometimes the devil does something that's not very good. He likes to oppress us, doesn't he? Oh, he likes to get on us because of who we are. And he'll do his best to draw us away from where we need to be. You think about when you pray and the thoughts that come into your mind sometimes. You ever thought about who puts them there? Huh? How does the devil do that? Well, see, the devil, he's smart too. If you think about it this way, the devil's smarter than you sitting in this pew this morning. He knows more about this book than you do. Isn't that sad? He knows what the Lord can do through Jesus Christ and what He has done through Jesus Christ. He has sent His Son. He has sent the Spirit. What does He want from us? He wants us to what? He wants us to fall to the wayside. Yes, I have good days. I have bad days. But I do know one thing. I know who is in my life during the good times as well as the bad times. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And I have to depend on Him to get me through each day. So we think about this ourselves today because of His mercy, because of His love, and by His grace that He has given to us. While we were yet sinners, the Bible says that Christ died for us. Think about this very quickly. Romans 6:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Jesus said in Matthew, I've come to seek the lost. I've come to seek those, to touch them, to save them. That's what He tells us in His Word. He told us over in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. He said, by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You see, if we ourselves could work our way to heaven and get salvation through our own self, my friends, we could just take this book, throw it in the trash, and go home right now. But you can't get Christ in your life. You can't have Christ in your life until you're willing to submit to the Lord Jesus Christ and ask Him to come into your life. That's the bottom line. How many of us believe that today? How many of us still are living on what I call a tightrope? How many of you this morning are walking down the road and you could fall to either side? Let me tell you what, it's easy to fall to the left. Sometimes it is to the right. Because we have friends and people that we associate with that live on the left-hand side of the world instead of on the right-hand side of God. That's the problem we have today. And we just as soon, you know, do that than to live for the Lord. Why is that? Because we like what we see. We like our freedom. Amen. You like your freedom? Huh? How much freedom do you have? The only freedom you got is what the government lets you have. Amen. Well, let me tell you what. I have freedom, total freedom in Jesus Christ. I'm not concerned about the laws that are put out here today. I don't want what the Bible teaches me. If anything goes against God's Word, I'm to stand against it. The problem is we don't stand against it, do we? That's why the world is like it is today. That's why He says, present your bodies what? He said, I beseech you, I urge you to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. So first of all, we talk about the mercies of God, and then we should look at it this. We offer ourselves to God as what I call a living sacrifice. Now, none of us really like to sacrifice, do we? Huh? Amen? How many of y'all like to make sacrifice in your life? I didn't think so. I don't have any takers, do I? We think it's a sacrifice when we tithe in the church. I've got to sacrifice this week. I've got to give a little bit more because I made a little bit more. I've got to do this because God says I'm the sacrifice. You know, when God talks about sacrifice, it's this person right here. He's not worried about what you've got or how you got what you've got. All He's worried about is who you are in Christ. The Bible says He will supply for all of your needs in Christ Jesus. All my strength comes through Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. He gives me that opportunity to live for Him each day. Look what the verse said. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. What good is a dead sacrifice? Let me ask you that question. What good is it? You remember all the sacrifices they made in the Old Testament? What did it do? Huh? Bottom line was, it did absolutely nothing. If you think about it. You killed an animal, you brought it before the Lord, He accepted that sacrifice, but my friends, that sacrifice was a temporary sacrifice. It was only good for the moment. Then you could turn right around and do the same thing again. Jesus Christ was not a dead sacrifice. Jesus Christ was a living sacrifice. He gave His life on the cross of Calvary. He died on the cross for us. But there's one thing about Christ, He didn't stay dead, did He? He came out of that tomb on the third day. He lives today on the right hand of God the Father. He sits to make intercession for us. One day He's coming back again. I serve a living Savior. I serve a risen Savior today. He's in the world today, is what the Psalm says. The Bible teaches us that, He is the beginning of life. He is the beginning of life. We were talking in Sunday school this morning. I don't know how many of y'all, you know, read your Sunday school lessons or not, but we talked in Sunday school about life, about conception, and about when a child is conceived in the womb, right? That is a living being. Created, now listen very carefully, created in the image of God. Now, think about your grandchildren right now. Some of y'all right here, you know? Think about that little granddaughter you got, you know. Think about when you hold her in your hands and you look into her face and you say to yourself, who created this? Oh, dear. You know, my daughter-in-law may have had it. I may have had that child. But God created that child in your womb. God created that child and gave it life. And He gave it abundant life. But how many times does the world destroy that life that God has created? Who's going to answer for all of that? Those who do not believe that God creates. Those who do not believe that Christ has given us a life. You want to live today. Look at the person sitting next to you. Just look at them for just a minute. You know? You don't look alike. You don't walk alike. You don't talk alike. You know, you don't do the same things just alike, you know? Isn't it amazing? And every one of us are different in our own right. And the fact is, God made us different for one thing. You know what that was for? What did He make us different for? If we all looked alike, boy, it would be a sad world, wouldn't it? Huh? Sure. Sure it would be. But He made us different because we are different. Even in the likeness of His image, we're all different because we have our own identity. And as Christians, we have our own identity in Jesus Christ. He's given that to us through His Word. A living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. See, we're set apart. And we're set apart against the backdrop, I say, of the Old Testament sacrifice and the New Testament sacrifice of Jesus Christ. When you think about your salvation this morning, what's the first thing that comes to mind? It should be a picture of the cross of Calvary. It should be a picture of Jesus Christ opening his arms just wide for you and me. It gave his life on that cross. We should think about when they came by, you know, and they stuck that sword up in his, that spear up in his side, and said the blood and water flowed from his body, right? We think about it flowed down to that person on the ground, Lord. And what did he do? All of that blood that was shed for us is still saving today. That blood is still washing today. That blood is still making us clean today. Why? Because he was willing to be the ultimate sacrifice for the sins of the world. Now, what about us being a sacrifice? What about us giving of our time and talent to do something just a little bit above and beyond? Maybe what you think you should do. God will give you the strength to accomplish a task that he has for you to do. Do you ever get up in the morning and say, Lord, today I want to be yours today. I want you to show me what direction I need to take. What do I need to do? I'll give you a little project. Let me give you a little project, okay? Besides the one you got in your hand. Go home this afternoon, take a blank sheet of paper, write your name at the bottom of it. And then put at the top of it, God, please fill in the rest of this letter. And see what he comes up with in your life. And when he tells you something, write it down. See what direction that he will take you. What did you do? You're opening up a book and saying, Lord, I'm giving you me. I'm giving you all of me to make the decisions in my life to help someone else, to help me to pray, to be a better person. And I'll guarantee you, when you sign that at the bottom and you leave it blank, my friends, God will reveal to you by praying over it what he would have you to do. If you don't believe me, try it and see what happens. You may be a little frightened when God says, I want you to do this. When he impresses in your spirit what you need to do. Because he says, I want you to be a sacrifice for me. Don't get caught up in your little cocoons, in your little worlds that you live in, you know. We come to church because it's a nice setting. It's a nice place to be. You know, I call it the greenhouse effect. You know why I call it a greenhouse effect? Because we come in, we sit in the sun, we get warm, you know. And we're supposed to be growing, but are we growing much? No, we're not. But do we take from here, outside the walls of this church, what God prepares for us? And do we use it in our lives today? You see, if we're going to build our foundation and our lives on Christ, it has to be an everyday experience. It's not just Sunday. You know, we like Sunday, don't we? Don't we like Sunday? You like a day off, amen? How many like Sunday to have a day off? The afternoon. We're going to run home today. We're going to get that recliner. We're going to turn the TV on. We're going to watch a football game. We're going to fall asleep. We'll see the end of it when the score's over. Amen. You know? That's me. Okay? That's what we do. But why are you here this morning? Think about it, Judah. Why are you here this morning? Billy, why are you here this morning? Yeah. Lucy, why are you here? Think about it, Barbara. Why are you here this morning? Oh, I came because I got my hair done. I look pretty good down. Everybody say amen. You know? I got a new shirt on, new necktie. You know, I like this pretty thing. You know, somebody said it looks like it's pink. It's mauve. Never pink. Yeah? I don't come to church to be pretty. I come to church to serve God, to learn more about myself and where I need to be today. Some of you sitting right here don't even know what direction to take when tomorrow comes. You get up, you do the same old routine, the same old thing, and accomplish absolutely nothing during the day. Because you don't want to do anything. My friends, don't put you in situations where you're going to fail God. Put you in situations where you are going to be the sacrifice and serving God. That's what he tells us. Serve him with gladness of heart. Sacrifice. Boy, sometimes we think, well, that's like an oxymoron, right? Well, I'm trying to live my life on a sacrifice, but you know, I can and I can't. Let me tell you what, you can do anything that you want to do. Bottom line, anything. When you went to work and you started doing your job, how many of y'all grew up actually knowing what you wanted to do? Huh? Okay, you did. I figured you would, Rick. Okay. Rick is a what? He's a contractor. He has his own business. Great, praise the Lord. He bless you and all that. You know? You were a missionary a lot of times in your life in what you did. Isn't that right, Charles? You went about countries, foreign countries and all, you know. Some of y'all are electricians. Some of y'all are carpenters. Some of y'all are plumbers. You know, some of y'all are just here. That's it. You know, you show up. You know. But what did God do for you? He gave you a mind to think. He gave you a mind to learn, to comprehend, and to apply. I can use these. You can too. I can weld. I can do carpentry work. I can do electrical work. I can do plumbing work. I know about chemical warfare because I did it in the military. I know small boat repair. I used to repair diesel engines, 671 Gemini's and things like this. You know, I've got a lot of varied background. But the greatest gift God ever gave to me was to become a preacher and know the Word of God and to learn the Word of God and be what God wants me to be. It gave me a good life. Even though I didn't realize at the time what God was going to do, He opened the doorway. And I was willing to take a step through the doorway. Even though I was afraid of what was going to happen, you know, I had to say, okay, Lord, I'll sacrifice. Yeah, I was like you. I stood back there and said, yes, Lord, I'll sacrifice. But when it comes to taking that big step, you know, you get locked down, you get concrete in your feet. And you don't want to go. Then all of a sudden the Lord says, guess what? I will open that doorway. And all you've got to do is remember who's on the other side of the door. And I said to myself, well, Lord, I opened it and let you into my heart. Now I can let you come in and do what you want to do. And that's been my life dream, you know, my life's love ever since I got saved, to let Christ come in and to live in my heart, that I may teach others your way in the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, that living sacrifice, it's not easy. It's hard. But it takes determination to move ahead for Jesus Christ. It takes you being determined in your heart to say, I am not going to let the world pull me away from what I'm supposed to do for Jesus Christ. But a lot of times we let the world pull us away, don't we? Well, think about this. The third thing is this. We're to offer ourselves to God. Now I want you to listen very carefully. All the time. All the time. You know what all the time means? Every day, every hour, every minute. Whether you're in church at worship, whether you're on the job somewhere, whether you're working in your garden or working in a field or cutting a tree down or whatever you may do, visit somebody's home, you are to give your all to Jesus Christ. Every little part of you belongs to Him. And as I read this, I think to myself, it's like this. Life is an everyday, you may want to write this down. Life is an everyday experience, my friends, of offering ourselves to Jesus Christ. Did you get that? Every day. Every day that you live should be a changed experience in your life to live for God. And it's something that, my friends, we should be what? Living for. Building our lives on. Getting together. And sharing the gospel message. What did he say? A living sacrifice. But look at the rest of the verse. A sacrifice that's holy, acceptable unto God. And this is the part that got me. Is your reasonable service. It's your responsibility to serve Him. It's your responsibility to open up. Of giving yourself, giving ourselves, giving all of us Christ today. And tomorrow morning you give all of yourself to Christ. You don't start your day out without Him, my friends, but you turn to Him. You think about this for just a minute. You may say to yourself, or hear somebody say, well, I'm going to church to worship God today. You know? I got up this morning, first thing I did, you know, went in, got a shower, brushed my teeth, shaved, did all that stuff, got myself all pretty for church. Amen. Then I went in, sat down, did my devotion. Went over sermons. Went over Sunday school. Went in and listened to Dr. Merritt for a little while. Turned the news on. Heard about the country going to pot. Turned that back off. Didn't hear that. You know? But I know God's in charge this morning. I don't have to worry about what the country's doing. God's going to take care of us. He's going to take care of everything that's going on in our life. But I thought to myself, well, we come to church to worship this morning. But when you do that, do you ever think about all the other affairs of life that you're associated with? Do you put Christ in it? Do you put him right here? What does the Bible say? It says that in the beginning God created. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. You know, he said, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Ephesians 2:1. That's a very plain and simple thing. You hath he quickened. My goodness, I knew where I was at. I was living for the devil, having a good time, drinking beer, smoking cigarettes, cussing, fussing, fighting. Didn't make any difference. Didn't care about you or anybody else. And then the Lord said, wait a minute, young man, come here for a minute. You know when the Lord grabs you by the back of the neck, you know what you do? You ever have a horse collar pulled on you? Huh? If you've watched wrestling, you've seen the horse collars before. They grab you right here and pull you. You know, you see it in football. You know, that's a big thing. You watch it today. You watch football, somebody's going to get a horse collar today. What does that do to you? It jerks your head back. I always feel when God grabbed me and gave me a horse collar, he jerks my head back and I'm looking one way. I said, okay, Lord. I need that. I need you to see where I'm at right now to where you want me to go over here. You see, he opens that door. But sometimes he has to get your attention, doesn't he? And we don't like that, do we? You remember growing up, how'd your parents get your attention? Huh? Did you get your attention with one of these? Huh? Have you ever, you know, I remember my dad, he had a hand that when he cracked you with it, he thought you got hit with a 2x4. Man, that thing was like leather. You know? And you thought to yourself, well, why am I getting this? And then it made you think right why you got it, because you didn't do what you were supposed to do. You ever think when God takes you to the woodshed, and he puts it on you and tells you, you're not living your life like you should. You're making my life look like this, when you should be making my life be represented by you in a loving, caring manner. See, we don't do that, do we? Because we have our own attitude about things. But why does he say this to us in the Word? Why? Because he tells us here. He says, I beseech you. But look at verse 2. Look at verse 2 with me. He said, and be not conformed, to this world. Boy, I'm going to tell you, I fit right in like a glove, don't you? Huh? I'm like the O.J. Simpson, boy. Put the glove on, it don't fit. Amen. You know, we fit in real well, don't we? We fit in good in society today. Because when you don't fit in with your friends and those that you associate yourself with, people are not living for the Lord as they should. You know what? Before long, it rubs off on you, and people can tell it. People can tell it. He says in this text here, he says, we offer ourselves to God through what I call a transformation and renewal. He said here, being transformed, not being conformed, transformed by renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What is God's perfect will for you? We're not committed when we refuse to commit ourselves to the Lord. We're not committed. You know what's interesting when you talk to Christians, just like in the church here, I can talk to you all day long, and boy, everybody loves Jesus. You know, that's the old preacher, everybody loves Jesus. That's what he used to say it, you know. Go down south, you know, well, we love Jesus, you know. Let me tell you something. If you love Jesus as much as you act like you love Jesus, you wouldn't live your life like you do. You know what I'm saying? You say, well, you're preaching to the choir. No, I'm preaching to you. Because you know who you are that's not living your life according to God's Word. Some of you are sitting right here, right today, that don't know Christ. As your Lord says, oh, yes, I do. I got him right here. Yeah, you may have a head knowledge, but you don't have a heart knowledge. You can walk out this door this morning, slip on the sidewalk, hit your head and die from a whatever. Break your neck or something like that. And guess what? I don't care how long you've been sitting there. First thing that happens when you close your eyes and you don't wake up, you're going to be in hell with the rest of them that didn't know Jesus Christ. Oh, preacher, I don't like that. Well, I'm sorry you don't like it. You know, get right and you wouldn't have to worry about it. See? Oh, we think we're all right. We're not right. We are sinners, my friends, in the face of God. Even Christians, my friends, sin in the face of God. And we're going to answer for the sins in our life. But, my friends, I have been saved by God's grace. By God's mercy, by God's love, I've been transformed and renewed within my heart, and I have to work daily as a minister to keep myself where I need to be. And I'm not perfect because I'm not in a perfect body. You're not in a perfect body. And I have a tendency sometimes, my friends, to sin also. Sometimes I like to grab people by the neck and slap them upside the head, but I know I can't do it because I love Jesus. Amen. What does it take to open our eyes to who we are today? We're Christians, we call ourselves. But are we the Christians we say we are? What can I say this morning to all of you? Well, let me give you a few little lines in my conclusion this morning. He beseeches you by His mercy to live your life according to His will. He beseeches you to be a living sacrifice in your daily affair of life. He beseeches you to not be conformed to the world, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I think some of us think sometimes we're so smart you can't put nothing else up there. You ever think about how much space you've got up there that's empty? Yeah? Do you ever think about how much space is empty between your two ears? Huh? God can fill it. You'll never get everything that God has for you. We get bits and pieces. If God gave us everything that was in that book that we're to live by, my friends, and to know everything about His Word, boy, what would we be? We would really be intellectual, wouldn't we? Well, God said, and God said, and God said. Let me tell you what. If we really believe what God said through His precious Word and through His Son, Jesus Christ, everywhere you go, you take this with you. You're not afraid to take your Bible. You're not afraid to read the Word. You're not afraid to pray and seek God's guidance. Why? Because if you listen to it this way, the question to you is this. Are you ready to put your whole self into the arms of Jesus? That's number one. Are you ready to put your whole self in the arms of Jesus? Are you ready to commit yourselves, the all of you, to Jesus Christ? I've got to make a commitment. I've got to make that decision in my life. Well, think about this. Commitment is the giving of all one knows of oneself to all that we know of God. How much do you know of God? Giving all of oneself to know more about God. And last of all, let me say this. Anything less than total commitment, you may want to write this down. Anything less than total commitment in your Christian walk of life is unacceptable to God. We don't like to hear that, do we? How does He want to accept us? He wants all of us. Every part of your body He wants. So go back and do the hokey pokey a little bit of that. And remember, when you put all of yourself into it, you'll get a whole lot more out of it. But until you do that, just going to be walking on the borderline. If I can leave you with anything this morning, it's this. If you doubt your salvation and you're not 100% sure of Jesus Christ, I ask this morning that you will call upon His name to ask Him to come in and have fellowship with you and forgive you of your sins. That's what I ask of you through His precious Word. The only thing that you have to remember is that Jesus is the way, truth, and life. And that nobody, no man, woman, child, anybody, will come to Him except through sending Him as Lord and Savior. Sometimes that's pretty hard, isn't it? Yes, I know. When you're at the age of accountability, what is it? Nobody can tell me. We used to always say, well, the age of 12 is a good age. Age 30, let me tell you what. I find children at a young age, even 4, and 3, they know what accountability is. And they can tell you, when I do wrong, and I know mama's mad and daddy's mad, I've done something bad. This is how Jesus looks at me too. When I don't do right, He knows. If a small child can know, how come it's so hard for us as adults to surrender our heart to Jesus Christ, knowing what destiny is at? Heaven. Let's pray.